I want this morning to speak to you concerning the subject of the love of Christ. Some years ago, a great millionaire said something to this effect, that the things which money cannot buy are the things best worth possessing. Strange thing. You see, there are some things that money cannot buy. Might I suggest that one of these things is the dying Saviour's love? Let me read to you three verses that make reference to the Saviour's love. I'm reading first of all from Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 18 and 19, that ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Then in that classic chapter, Romans chapter 8, near the end of the chapter, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then a final reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And I'm sure the Lord will bless to each listener this morning the words that we have read from the Holy Scriptures. Now, it's very interesting, this expression, the love of Christ. It has been suggested that in the Epistle to the Ephesians, it's written there for the Christian who is a student to try to measure the great love of Christ in its height and its depths, etc. But then when you come to Romans chapter 8, that is written for the Christian who is suffering. But when you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that is written for the Christian who is serving. So whether you're a studious Christian, a suffering Christian, or a serving Christian, you have all got a point of meeting in the love of Christ. It is used in Ephesians to set forth the Saviour's matchless love, the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That love found its supreme expression at Calvary. There, one who was spotlessly pure and intrinsically holy took our place, bore our condemnation, met our doom. And when we turn our eyes, as it were, to the cross and behold the Redeemer, then with contrite hearts and tear-dimmed eyes, behold the wonder of it, we are able to say with the great apostle, he loved me and gave himself for me. There's a story recorded regarding Cyrus, who was king of Persia, that he went to war with an eastern prince. After some severe fighting, the young prince was overpowered. He and his wife and children were taken captive. One day, shortly after their arrival at the palace of the conqueror, they were summoned into the king's presence. "Prince," said the monarch, "what will you give me if I release you?" "I will give you the half of my kingdom, sir," replied the young prince. "And if I release your children?" He said, "I will give you the whole of my kingdom, sir." "And if I release your wife?" "Ah," he said, "I will give you myself, sir." The large-hearted king was so pleased with these noble replies that he gave instructions for the whole family to be set free immediately and to be sent back to their own home. Sometime after their return, the young couple were one day discussing their recent experiences, when the prince said to his wife, "Do you remember that morning on which we were summoned into the presence of the king? Yes, she replied, I do. As you beheld him seated on his golden throne, continued the husband, did you not consider him a very handsome man? I do not know, my dear, she said. I had eyes only for the man who was willing to give himself for me, and that man was you. But we are speaking to you this morning of one who was not only willing to give himself for us, but who has actually given himself. The apostle said, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me and gave himself for me. Amazing love. Amazing sacrifice. I'll take my heart down from the willow tree and bid its notes in praise of Jesus rise. He loved me and gave himself for me and made atonement for the broken law and wrought a righteousness on Calvary which God has tried and found without a flaw. Oh, when I stand mid yonder shining throng and on fair Canaan's coast my Savior see, I'll add this chorus to my swelling song. He loved me and gave himself for me. Now it's used in the Epistle to the Romans to assure us of the Savior's boundless power. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Asks the Apostle. And after enumerating 7 creature difficulties and 10 creature powers that might possibly do so, he practically reaffirms what our Lord taught in his Good Shepherd discourse. Here we are in the presence of the love that will not let us go. And until our hearts are finally assured of that love, there can be no settled peace. No one can be comfortable if they're on board a ship and they doubt the captain's skill as a navigator, or if they believe that the ship is unseaworthy, or the chart to be unreliable, or the compass to be defective. Nor can anyone rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, or enjoy the peace that passeth understanding, until he is convinced of the power and determination of Christ to keep to the very end. Did not the Lord say, I gave unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish? Let me no more my comfort draw from my frail hold on thee. In this alone rejoice with all thy mighty grasp of me. Then again the expression is used in 2 Corinthians, not this time for the studious Christian or the suffering Christian, but for the serving Christian. It is used in Paul's second letter to Corinthians like this, to convey to us the Savior's irresistible appeal, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And so we learn that while the devil drives by force, our master constrains by gratitude. That while the one binds by the iron chains of slavery, the other draws by the golden chains of love. Now may I remind you that this language indicates that it was thus that Paul regarded his Savior and Lord. The love of Christ became the inspiration of all his toil, the background of all his thought, the dynamic force that controlled his life, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So may I remind you that the love of Christ is here presented in the Word of God for every Christian who is studious. Try and grasp the height, the depth, the length and breadth of the love of Christ. You'll be lost in wonder and in amazement. If you're a suffering Christian passing through times of trial and tribulation, remember, nothing shall ever separate you from the love of Christ. If you're a serving Christian, then your service should be rendered because the love of Christ is constraining you. Here is something that cannot possibly be bought with the world's gold, but since you have been bought with a price and are no longer your own, I beseech you by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You've been listening to the Bible Fellowship program. This is Mr. McNeil bidding you again God's richest blessing, saying good morning as we go off the air.